Once again, it is good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. We live in some times where it seemed like Satan just runs rampant in the midst of our world in which we live in. But I had Henry to sing that song for a reason. And that reason is no matter what transpires in our world, we are the light that men need to see. We are the light that is shining along the shore. Amen. And we must never, ever allow ourselves to get caught up or to be tricked by Satan and his devices. If our job is to proclaim the light, we must learn to be the light all the time. And so this morning, as we look at this lesson, I want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, around about verses 1 and following. There was a very popular group that took this passage of scripture and made it into a multi-million dollar song.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all might not know who it is, but some of y'all do know. And as they sung this song, and as we look at this text, I want to show you that in the midst of everything that's going on, God is always in control.
Amen.
And the key to everything that goes on is that we remember that God is also in control of us.
Amen.
And if we live our lives and let our light shine in such a way, guess what? Satan does not stand a chance.
Amen.
You know, his job is to distract,
Amen. Is
to belittle, is to destroy each and every one of us. Isn't that what Peter said? 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 5 and following, he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion.
Amen.
And who do you think he's looking for? You know, he don't want lame prey.
Yeah.
Amen. Although a lion would eat anything.
Yeah.
But our adversary wants an individual that is trying to hold God's unchanging hand. Our adversary wants someone that is willing to stray from the truth and follow after everything but the truth.
Amen.
But Peter says our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion,
Amen.
Seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
But I like the next verse, because that's got my name written all over it, and it should have your name as well. But he resists those that are steadfast.
Yeah.
Satan doesn't stand a chance unless we give him the opportunity. And so the wisest man on the face of the earth would write these words to encourage God's people and to remind God's people, don't get sidetracked. I'm reminded of this individual as he took over the reins of being king. And as he stood before the Almighty, he asked God to give him wisdom that he might lead his people. And God said, because you did not ask for riches, I'm going to give you some. Made him the richest man on the face of the earth. And being a man, amen, man, being a man, he got sidetracked just like you and I get sidetracked. That song that talks about lights along the shore. How many of your lights are dim this morning? Or have you just let it gone completely out? See, because in the world in which we live in, they need to see that Jesus is alive and well, because they can see him inside of us.
Right.
You've looked at the news. What a mess. But I'm not going to get caught up in the mess.
Right.
I'm going to remind them that I'm the light. I'm going to show agape love regardless of what you say and do. Why? Because I'm the light that needs to guide somebody to Jesus Christ. And so the wise man Solomon, as he gains wisdom, as he gains knowledge, and as he becomes the richest man on the face of the earth, Satan already knows what he needs to do. The Bible says he turns Solomon's eyes from Jehovah. How do I know that? The Bible said he had 300 wives, 700 concubines. He got so wrapped up in what he was that he forgot who God was. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and following
the wisest man on the face of the earth said, it's vanity, vanity, and vexation of the soul. But you know what? I figured this thing out. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, round about verse number 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. So as I live on this time side of life, I'm not worried about the White House. I'm worried about God's house.
Right.
I'm not worried about what goes on in Washington, but I'm worried about what goes on in Apple Valley.
Amen.
You know why? Because I'm the light. And if we're the light, you think that world out there needs to see?
Yes.
Don't you think some folk out there are hurting?
Yes.
Yeah? And what are we going to do? We're going to trim our lights, or we're just going to let them go out. Solomon got into the point to where he realized that he had strayed away from God. And when he realized that, he repented of his sin. And God had mercy on him, but you know the rest of the story. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The Bible says, to everything there is a season. And I've learned that. I've learned that God don't operate when Stan want him not.
Amen.
You know, he don't do half of what I tell him to do.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, how y'all doing? I'm down your street. He doesn't do half of what I would want him to do.
That's right.
But you know, he's done everything he needed to do for me.
He did.
That's right. Haven't missed a meal.
Amen.
Look pretty good.
Amen.
Got a roof over my head. Ain't got no holes in the roof. And if I look at the parking lot, he must be doing pretty good to you as well. Amen.
Amen.
Church, and I'm learning that God operates in his own time and his own season. I must learn to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in doing the will of the Father. But the wise man Solomon said, there's a time to everything under heaven. To everything there is a season. A time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to break down, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what was planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. And I want to start right there. Because if there's ever been a time that God's people need to build up one another, and build up those that they come in contact with. Look at the world which we live in. You can't even turn on the TV. I don't care whether it's CNN or CNN. There's a mess going on. And then we get so caught up in the mess that we forget who we really are. We are the light of the world. When I looked at this text, I couldn't help but to think about something I see on TV. And where all of us get together, and it's called UFC. Some of y'all may not know what I'm talking about. It's called the Ultimate Fighting Champions. There's an announcer on there that as he prepares to announce the upcoming fight, he's enthused, he's motivated, he's encouraged, and he used such emphasis that you can't help but to get excited with him. I mean, and he uses this phrase, it is time. It's time, church. If the world is in a mess, what's our time? It's time for you and I to stand up and show the world in the midst of everything that goes on, God still reigns supreme. And if he reigns supreme, church, you and I must learn to do God's will regardless of circumstances and situations. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that's right, I'm going to take my time this morning. Because, church, I believe that in the midst of the world that goes on, anybody in here got any problems?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Oh, well, I need to see the rest of y'all ain't got no problems. Well, maybe I don't want to see you. See, because I'm learning that with an addiction, anybody in here addicted? Don't raise your hand, because we're all addicted to something. And I'm learning that the first step of an addiction is to admit you got a problem.
That's right.
Church, I've learned that. I've learned that I'm pretty good, but I could be better. But I understand that until I let go and let God mold me and shape me the way He wants me, I got a problem. So I face up to my problem, and I don't run away from it. But in this text that we're getting ready to read, God reminds His people that the world is a mess. But you don't have to be. Do you?
No.
John chapter 10 and round about verse number 10. The Bible says the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. If that don't motivate you, check your pulse.
Come on.
You might be here, but you might be gone at the same time and might not even know it. Church, I don't know about you. This is one day out of the week that I can assemble around this table. Remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of my Lord and Savior. Remember how He bled, suffered, and died, and He did not do nothing, but He did it for me.
That's right.
That motivates me to know that He would hang on the tree, and He told them I could call a legion of angels to save me. But I'm going to do it. Why? John chapter 8, verse number 29. I always do the things that please my Father. Can you say that? Huh? Can we say that as God's people? Do we always do the things that please our Father?
No.
Sad story.
Yeah.
Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12. The Bible said, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard the prayers and have chosen this place to be myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to destroy the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. You see what God is trying to say? Look at the world we live in. See, we got pestilence, but it's not flies. We got a lot of pestilence, but it's not locusts. Pestilence of envy, the pestilence of malice. Y'all quiet this morning. I must be on the right nerve, and I'll stay there. I ain't got nothing but time. But church, what I'm trying to get us to see is that as the light that shines along the core, along the shore, we have to rise above, because men, women, boys, and girls are looking for some examples. They're looking for you and I, and they're raising questions. How do I get to know this Jesus? I see Him in you. Do I or do I not? That's not part of my lesson, but that don't cost you nothing. Verse number 14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. That's some powerful stuff. You want to know why we're in the mess that we're in? We put God in the category just like we put everything else. He's not the author and finisher of our lives, because if He was, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have. Oh yeah, they're sitting in Washington wondering what the answer to the solution is. I know what the answer is. I know what it is. You saying, boy, this preacher, he done lost his mind. Yes, I have. Because Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. That's right. I'm learning, church, that if you want to solve the problems that you have in your everyday life, you got to surrender your will to the will of the Father. You realize that a lot of the trials and tribulations we face is simply because of our lack of disobedience. That's right. Remember our text? Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will, what? Give you rest. What do you want me to do, Jesus? Take my yoke. Oh, that means your yoke got to get out the way. And you know, when you talk about a yoke, you know, you're talking about a heavy load. I mean, y'all got heavy loads this morning. You don't have to raise your hand, because if your face could tell the story.
That's right.
Church, somewhere down the line, when we come to Jesus, He says, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. I mean, y'all worried about something this morning. I ain't got nothing but time this morning. This is Counseling 101 Stan's way with the book. Oh, yeah. Somewhere down the line, church, you ought to be the most excited purple on the face of the earth.
Amen.
You got everything you need.
Yes, sir.
And it's not enough, is it? Somebody's going to be honest. Yeah, it ain't enough. I want some more. But somewhere down the line, we have to understand God's plan that he has for every single one of us. Those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4, and have been added to the body of Christ, Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. Those of us who say we are believers of the body of Christ, newsflash, God is going to hold us accountable for every soul we neglect to tell about Jesus Christ. And he's going to hold us accountable when our lives are not in harmony with what his book commands. That's the reason why church is so important, that you and I, as we study and meditate upon the Word of God, that we apply the Word of God to our everyday lives. And I'm learning that when you apply the Scriptures to your life, boy, I learned how to shut my mouth at times.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody have that?
Yeah.
I've learned how to go beyond, because I've learned that the true battle, the true fight, is with Satan. And I'm learning that if I keep my mind focused on Jesus Christ, I ain't got to worry about Satan. The Bible says, Jesus said, there's a time, the wise man Solomon said, there's a time for everything under heaven. And church, I believe it's time for you and I to come out the closet. Amen. It's time to show the world that there is a better way, and that way is in Jesus Christ. See, but in order to do that, it requires something. It requires total surrendering of oneself. In Matthew chapter 16, and round about verse number 24, Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life shall lose his life. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh yes, church, it is time. It is time for the body of Christ to stand up and show the world that there is a better way. In the midst of all the chaos that goes on around us, somebody ought to be able to say, it's gonna be all right. And I don't know about you, in the midst of everything that I see, I used to be concerned about my children, my grandchildren. But I know as long as they keep their hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, everything is going to be all right. You know why? Because he's promised that he would do just what he said he would do. I want to encourage those of you that are here this morning, members of the body of Christ, church, we have an awesome responsibility. And that responsibility was given to us when you went into that watery grave. When you went into that watery grave, Jesus commands you to do his will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10, verse number 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse number 10 says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to everything that is done in the body. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. I want to persuade us to go out and persuade some lost souls to the cross. And round about verse number 17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
That's right.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us ministry of reconciliation. Church, we are the lights.
Amen.
Along the shore. And we're there to guide some lost soul to the cross. But we must let our lights so shine that men are drawn to the cross merely by the example of our lives. And when we open our mouths, we just blow folk away, because we speak as the oracles of God. Verse number 19 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ,
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you on Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled unto God. For he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. That's what drives me.
Right now.
That he sent his son to die for little old me. For little old me. That's right. And because he died for me, I don't take that lightly. To know that I was once lost. I'm saved now. I don't care how much you dig. It doesn't matter. Because the Bible said, Jesus, God said, your sins and iniquities, I will remember them no more. Why? Because I've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ. Church, it is time. It is time to show the world. Just like Jesus was the example to the world. In John chapter 6 and verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. In Matthew chapter 7, round about verse number 22, Jesus says, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and have done many wonderful works. And he says, depart, I never knew you. Church, I don't want to get to the gate and hear those words. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, Jesus was our example, church. He was our example that came down from heaven to do the will of his Father. John chapter 9, verse number 4. John chapter 8 and verse number 28. Jesus was the example of doing the will of his Father. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus understood that. And those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we need to understand that we are mere servants in the master's house. And I never seen a servant tell the master what he gonna do. But boy, we some bold folk, ain't we?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, amen. You might as well say amen. We're some bold people. We'll tell him we'll come when we feel like it. Amen, Walls. And I give $2 and nothing. Amen. And then you know what? I might talk about you. And I might not. But I know one thing. You better bless me beyond measure. Isn't that us?
Better not be.
Better not be, but unfortunately, it is. Because in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, he said, if my people that are called by my name would humble, you can't go no further than that. Are we humble people? You step on my big toe, I'm going to shoot your cat. You slap me on one cheek, I'm not turning the other cheek, I'm going to knock you out. That's not what the book says. See, it's all about a mindset. And the reason why the world is in the mess that it's in, it don't have the mindset of Christ. The Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not. But he commended himself to him that was faithful. They crucified him. Never opened up his mouth. Placed a crown of thorns upon his head. Never said a mumbling word. Boy, let me put some crowns on your, some thorns on your head. Or we're going to have some problems. And see, if we put thorns on one another's head, this ain't going to cost you nothing. Do you not know envy, malice, strife, and division, and all of that mess? Do you not know? You know what that does? It just hinders you from doing the will of the Father. That's why he says, take my yoke. And see, and I know what his yoke is. I'm going to love you regardless. I'm going to be kind to you regardless. That's his yoke.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that when you take the yoke of Christ, you can persecute me all day long.
Yeah.
Because I understand. Peter said, all that desire to live godly in this present world will suffer persecution. Maybe that's why it's difficult to live godly. I don't want to suffer. I'm suffering enough. And you ain't pay half my bills. Amen, Walls. I'm suffering enough because I can't get that new car. I already got a new car, but I wouldn't like another one. Oh, I'm being facetious, but I'm being for real. Because in the final analysis of everything, is that not us?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. God has committed to us a ministry of reconciliation. Church, it is time for you and I to wake out of our stupor, out of our sleep, and understand. The Hebrew writer said, salvation is nearer today than it was when we first began. Church, I want to encourage us and remind us, we're in a battle. Battle's not with one another. No, the battle is with wickedness in the heavenly places. So therefore, the godly folk, the members of the body of Christ, we got to wake up out of our sleep. Paul would write these words to the church. Romans chapter 13, around about verse number 12. Verse number 10, the Bible says, love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that, knowing the time, that it's high time, that we wake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting or drunkenness or chamberlaining or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put the Lord Jesus Christ on and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul writes these words to remind the believer, stay on track. That's right. I don't know about you. It's hard to stay on track. No, it's not. I made that excuse for so long. Not taking nothing from you, sister, but you're right. You know why it's hard to stay on track? You don't surrender. If we're servants in the master's house, question is, how do you serve? Do you tell the master, well, I'm not going to do this today? And you know, when I read the Bible and it talks about with many stripes, you shall be beaten. You know, when you don't do things God's way, God strikes, he uses whips. Not the ones of physical, but sometimes they are. The Bible says, he that is without chastening. I'll let you finish the rest of that.
And that's interesting.
A couple quick points, message to show us. Point number one, it is time to get busy planting and watering the word. That's the whole message of what we're supposed to do. Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and following. The prophet Isaiah said, when God looked around and said, who can I send? The prophet Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or an absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one hope, one faith for the striving of the gospel. If there's ever been a time for us to plant and water, look at the world in which we live in. This world is in a mess. We don't have to be. I don't know about you. Now, and I tell you, like I've told you before, I only let who I want up here. Amen. If I don't want you up here, guess what? You can do whatever you like. Why? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, he humbled himself. See, I'm learning that the biggest problem in America is nobody's humble. From the church house to the White House. Because if we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will heal the land in which we believe in. And I know that's out of the Old Testament. But Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, the things that are written aforehand are written for our learning. I'm learning that when you and I get busy doing the kingdom business, you ain't got time for any other business. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and round about verse number 1. I want to show you that when we're busy doing the will of the Father, you won't even take your eyes off of the cross. Let me show you something. Look at what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, when I could not speak unto you, unto as the spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid meat. For whereunto you're not able to bear it, And yet, even now, you're not able. That's some powerful stuff there. But he didn't stop there. And he says in verse 3, for ye are still carnal. For where there is among you envy, strife, and division, are you not carnal and walking as men? For while one say I am of Paul and another I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? See, they had these. See, the problem we face today in the world is the same problem they had then. That wise man Solomon also said, there is nothing new under heaven. Yeah, what went on then, it's going on now. Oh yeah. Ungodly folk, they still around. Folk that claim to be, I don't know how I got here, but this ain't costing you nothing. Folk claim to be and are just the opposite of what they claim. And you know, and nobody in here likes a liar. Then why do we lie? Oh, let me go on and finish this. Verse number 5 says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that water, but God give the increase. Now he that planteth and he that waters are, that's interesting. But so when you and I understand that God has left the gospel to teach this world out here, I'm not gonna worry about whether or not Henry plants. My job might be to just put some water on it. I'm not going to worry about whether or not you water. You know, you drive on the freeway, what's the first thing you see when someone comes in your lane? What do you tell them?
Yeah.
Stay in your lane. Somewhere down the line, church, you need to stay in your lane. It's not about anything but planting and watering the kingdom. I don't know how it got there, but that don't cost you nothing either. The Bible says in verse number 2, we must learn to water the word by living our lives as the word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13, 14, and following, he talks about the light that sets on a hill, cannot be hid. Church, I'm learning that when you and I learn to plant and water the word of God, God will give the increase. And the final point is, let God do his part. Amen. I'm learning that God can't do nothing with me until I get out the way. That's why he says you got to surrender your will, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. I've learned that when I develop the mind of Christ, you know, I can rise above a whole lot of stuff on this world. But that only comes when an individual allows God to mold him and shape him the way he designs. See, God is the molder. You're the clay. But I think we turned this thing around, did we not? We want to mold God to fit into our budget, to fit into our lifestyle. And when it don't work, guess what? We got a question to say, why? Conclusion, the wisest man on the face of the earth realized after messing up, confessing up, and realized that everything on this time side of life is just mere vanity and vexation of the soul. He realized and he recognized that without God, there is no meaning to life. He realized and recognized the importance of serving God and wanted the world to know that the whole purpose that you have been created was not for yourself, but to serve the God that made you. In Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 16, Paul said all things were made by him. For him. God has made us for the purpose of reconciling man back to himself. And church, and I'm learning the only way he's going to reconcile the world in which we live in is we must humble ourselves and surrender our will to his will. I hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart, church. You know, I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't even watch TV. Sometimes I don't even listen to the radio. Because it is depressing. But at the same time, it lets me know that in the midst of all of this, I serve a God that is awesome. Amen. I serve a God that helps me smile no matter what transpires in my life. And even in the midst of death, the God I serve, he's given me some comfort. Yeah. And the comfort is that when I die, he's taking the sting out of my death. That's what excites me. He's taking the sting out of my death. That when my time comes, he'll dispatch from heaven the heavenly pallbearers to take me on into paradise. That's what motivates me. And I guess maybe because I'm getting a little older. Can't half see half the time. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't half hear. You know. But one thing I'm sure of, that when this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, I know where I'm going. Because I've made a commitment like I've never made in all of my life. My commitment is I'm going to serve my God to the best of my ability according to his word, and I refuse to be sidetracked from that. I mean, I worked for Satan for a long time.
That's right.
Amen. And every now and then when you mess with me, I have to go back and work for him again. You might as well be honest with yourself. See, I don't lie to me. I know me. And I try to live my life according to the word. I want to encourage you, members of the body of Christ, it's time. It's time for us to get out here and seek and save some souls that are lost. It's time that we look at them to our own households and let them know that one day God's coming back. And let them know the power that God has through his word. And then we need to let our neighbors and our friends know that one day God's going to stop time. And when he stops time, he's going to call the saints that are dead in him. They're going to be the first ones. And then the ones of us that are alive and remaining upon the face of the earth, he says he's going to call us in the sky. And I don't know about you. There's a passage of scripture that just scares me. Two will be in the field. One will be, and they will be working. One will be taken up, and the other one shall remain. And if you don't know what that means, you go back and look at it. Because when he calls from labor to the other side, will you rise or will you be still? Those of you that are visiting this morning, hope I've said something to encourage your heart. You've heard the gospel according to the word of God. Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you got to believe what you've heard. John 20:30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says one must repent of one's sin. And I know most of the time you say, well, when I get right, I'll come to Jesus. Then he would have never had to die. Luke 13:3, 13:5, tell you nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, and he says, I will deny you before my Father. Then the Bible says one must be buried in water for the remission of one's sins. Contrary to popular belief, baptism saves us now. It's not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter 3:21, Galatians 3:26-27 says, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he adds you to the church, which is his body. Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22. The body is the church and the church is the body. If you're here, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.